Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. Hybrid Jazz is a vision of all that is jazz, both traditional and contemporary, domestic and global. Here's your host, Trish Hennessy.
Well, thank you, Mr. Dave Solomon. Always a pleasure to hear my friend from Philadelphia. And, woo, this is going to be some kind of show. I'm telling you what, mark it on your calendar. October 23rd. 2012. So much going on in the universe, and right here we have a guest right at the start of the show, and I can't say enough about this gentleman. I just recently got to meet him, and that was a pleasure and an honor, but I knew about him before via my friend Gar Roberts, who's been a friend and supporter of music, a promoter, a person who truly knows integrity and honesty and real talent. So when he told me about Michael Austin, I went, okay, I'm going to pay attention. Little did I know that the story involving Michael Austin was so staggering. If you can imagine having been in a scenario whereby you are in prison for a crime you did not commit while you were there for a low of 27 years, you turned your head around to such a degree that all you saw in front of you was beauty, and you created it. And this is the story of Michael Austin right now. He is with me today, and Michael, I can't say what a privilege it is to talk to you, because, first of all, your voice blows me away. And secondly, you are quite an honorable man, so thank you for joining me.
Well, it's an honor to be on your program, and I really enjoyed that introduction. You almost brought tears to my eyes.
Oh.
I'm serious. You know, listen, it's not often that I have an opportunity to be on a popular show like this and have an opportunity to talk to the community and the public at large. And when I do have an opportunity to get involved in interviews, you know, I like to be able to share, you know, my story and how I was able to survive, not just in prison, but also out here in free society.
Well, Michael, and that's the situation. I know that you want to focus on your music, but see, the credibility that you bring to the music from this new album is so amazing, because when you hear a love song in the throat of someone who knows technically how to do it, and then to convey such believability, it becomes more than a love song. It becomes a life-changing song. So that's what you've done.
Yeah, that was pretty profound. But listen, all of the songs derived from real relationships while I was in prison. And while I was in prison, I met a lot of beautiful women, and I was blessed and fortunate to do that, and every time one of the women would break up with me, I would write a song, not always a sad song, but always used to use abstract forms to describe what the relationship was about and how it affected me. And that's basically how that this new CD is basically about that. It's about the beautiful women that I met in prison and how I was able to transform my way of thinking about love and relationships through my experience with women while I was in prison.
That is wild. So how did you meet these women? Of course I'm going to ask you that.
Yeah, well, see, in the Maryland State Penitentiary, they had a lot of activities and organization where people from the community was able to come in and become volunteers.
Gotcha.
And through that, if you involve in certain organizations, I was involved in Left Bank Jazz because we had an organization, Left Bank Jazz, in the Maryland
yes.
State Penitentiary. So we had people like Isaac Hayes, Stevie Wonder, Muhammad Ali, all these people come through, so you meet a lot of people.
Oh, my gosh.
And so I used to go and introduce myself. But I never told anyone that I was innocent. I just introduced myself and, you know, and trying to establish friendship. And through that, I might meet a woman, and we might have an opportunity to talk, and then she might come visit me, and then a platonic relationship might start, and then things might get a little bit more serious, and then things will end. But so that's the scenario that I think most prisoners experience, because a lot of women don't have the patience to endure a lot of time involving a man in prison for years and years.
Yeah, I'm sure, and it's very, very difficult and beyond frustrating. And that's I view you as close to a saint, because you had such patience through all of this. And here's what the silver lining of this was, Michael. You are able to convey on I Just Want to Love You, the title of the project, this sense of longing that few people can manage to convey, but you lived it. So, it's like hearing a throwback to what I remember were great vocalists back in the day when I was listening to AM radio back in the 60s in Philly.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then here you are, this contemporary new cat who's singing with this this pain and hope and sadness, but yet joy, all of that. Woo! Did you feel that when you were recording this album?
You know, I think when you're dealing with things that are real, it's always going to be real. So no
yep.
matter what the circumstances are, when you're performing it, it's going to be real. And you're going to, when you sing it, you're going to feel those feelings through that experience. And I think that's how it comes out the way it does. But I'm saying that's just my approach, because I'm quite sure other people have their approach. But for me, if it's real, I can express it, you know, from my soul, and if it's an experience that I had, I can really, really express it. So most of the songs, like I said, are from real experience and real relationship. Therefore, it wasn't difficult for me to, you know, provide the feeling, the emotion that goes along with the song.
Well, a lot of vocalists, as you know, are great actors. That's part of the shtick that many vocalists have, but I just feel you so much, and that's something that is even more of a gift, when you allow yourself the vulnerability to let it all shine through. That's something that you can't teach, you know?
Yeah, you have to feel it.
Yeah. You do.
Yeah.
You do.
Yeah.
Woo! Can we play a little something? Because I really want to hear.
Yeah.
I have Love You All Over, Love Come Back, I Just Want to Love You, the title track, and A Lady is a Lady. What would you like to hear?
Well, let's play the song we just was talking about, I Just Want to Love You.
Gotcha. Okay. Let us do that. This is the title track of my guest's new album that just dropped last month, I Just Want to Love You, on Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy.
Is this how it's going to end? After all the love we put in, out yesterday, out tomorrow, today I just want to love you more. Out of touch with love, trying to find a new place in my heart. Yet there are moments when I feel love creeping back to my heart. It's not impossible to love again, 'cause love is all we
have to give. Only a second ago I held you. I wanna hold you again. Is this how it's going to end? After all the love we put in, out yesterday, out tomorrow, today I just wanna love, love you more.
Musical journey. This was produced by James Johnson.
Yes, James Johnson. I met him. I met him the night that I had another friend named Joel Holm, who just graduated from Peabody. Young man.
Yes.
You know Joel Holm?
I do.
Well, he was the first one who played the song, and he said, "Well, look, I want to go introduce you to a friend of mine named James Johnson." And so I went up on Reisterstown Road, and I met James Johnson. So I was introduced to Pro Tools and computers and stuff. And I was hanging out with these young guys, and they were just, you know, pulling me in and showing me how to do this and do that. And I said, well, look, why don't you work with me? And James Johnson and I started working. So we put together a CD with four songs on it. Actually, four of the songs on the new CD is on the old CD. And what happened was I called him up. I said, let's do another CD. I said, I have some new music, you know, some of the music I wrote while I was in prison. So he said, well, come on, let's put it together. And he lives in Richmond, Virginia now. And so I was riding back and forth down to Richmond, Virginia in his studio, and we was just putting this music together. And he produced it and rearranged it and just polished it up and made it sound the way that it sounds now.
And it just has that, thank God that James knew what to do, because nothing is overdone. It's just the way it's supposed to be. It's a beautiful read for you. It just makes you shine.
Yeah, and I really, you know, and actually I talked to him yesterday because I'm thinking about doing, you know, working on another CD.
Oh,
and,
good.
Yeah, putting another album together. I just want to do a lot of stuff that I already have, but I just want to bring it up, upgrade it a little bit, and bring it up to date. And continue to work with these young producers and trying to, you know, put out some nice music so people can really check me out and see what I'm about.
Well, you know, it has to be mentioned, Michael, that you are not only focusing on music, but To help you out with this believability of the music and how real you are, please feel free to talk about In This Together as well, because you spend most of your time making sure that younger people love themselves. How about that? How about if I describe it that way? Because you took a while to understand how important it was to love you.
Yeah, exactly. And that's why, you know, this organization has become a very serious passion of mine because, you know, through my experience, I want to be able to share that knowledge with young kids and allow them to understand that, you know, you have to understand that you do have a purpose in this world. You have to actually define who you are. You have to make a decision what direction you're going in. And it takes a lot of consistency, and it takes not just me, but, you know, their family, which most of the times are mothers, and the rest of the community in those communities that have organization or community activities, and trying to, you know, shape their kid to become a productive citizen. Recently, I had just went through the social service, so I was able to be able to mentor a lot of kids through my organization, because in order to participate, you have to go through the rigorous screening through the social service, so we really want to make sure you don't have a criminal background.
Sure.
And
sure.
So I had to go through that process, and I really enjoyed it. And I have a kid that I'm mentoring now and I'm working with. And it's just something, it started when I went to Africa. I met a friend named Tom Hewitt, who was from San Francisco, and he's a professional surfer, but he was going to college in San Francisco also. So when he got out of college, he'd generally go to Durban, South Africa, and that's where I was at. And he decided to start an organization because there was a lot of street kids, you know, in Africa. You don't have social service and foster care and safe houses, and, you know, so when the kid parents die from AIDS or get killed, they just walk the street and they eat off the street and they survive on the street.
Oh,
so
man.
Tom Hewitt created an organization called Umtamba, and the term Umtamba derived from a tree that grows in the desert without any water, and it symbolized strength and survival. And so I was fortunate enough to go to South Africa with a friend of mine who was able to get a grant, and I just had to pay for the flight, and we stayed there for 21 days, and we went to Umtama to provide instruction to the kids there who wanted to do a talent show. So we went there and helped them do that. And the idea came to me on the way back home that I should get involved in my community the same way, and trying to provide what little, any service I can to the kids, teach them what I know, and trying to encourage them to never give up their dreams, no matter what the circumstances are. So, and then it's about giving back to the community, because so many people have given me, and that's how I was able to get out of prison, because so many people embraced and believed in me. And when you have so many people giving you, it just become innate for you to be able to do the same thing. So, and it makes you feel good when you're able to just give a part of yourself to kids, and to allow them to understand that life is going to be difficult. And that's the first thing I tell them, because a lot of kids think it's fun, that life is easy, but I let them know that life is difficult and it's going to be a struggle, so prepare yourself. And the organization does, we do entrepreneurship, and we're trying to assist the kids in getting their GED, and trying to just encourage them to really believe in themselves, and trying to let them also understand that you have a responsibility in your community to keep it safe and keep it better for your own family. And so that's, you know, so those are some of the things I do to give back, because so many people continue to give me, and I continue to be blessed every day. So, you know, it's important for me, and I guess other people, to provide some type of volunteering service for some organization in your community, and reach out to not only the kids but homeless people, and trying to help them, you know, and trying to provide a better life for them, even if it's only for a half an hour or 15 minutes, you know.
Wow. While you were talking, I was thinking, this has been a subject for conversation in the past few days with different friends. Sometimes you're in a position to be able to really talk to some people that mean a lot to you, not just surface talk. The kind of discussion that you're bringing up right now, Michael, the underserved youth in our communities is so vast, and you were mentioning that a lot of kids only have one person, a mom, or a dad maybe, but meanwhile that mom or that dad is trying very hard to make sure the family stays together. So that means that maybe they're working two and three jobs. And I'm thinking of that whole concept of it takes a village to make children prosper. And, you know, next hour, my friend Anita King and Jeffrey Tribble from The Musicianship are going to be here to talk about how worthy it is to put instruments in the hands of kids who would not normally get that chance. Michael, wouldn't it be an unbelievable scenario whereby the efforts that you're putting forth in this together and the musicianship and other people in Baltimore, D.C. area, maybe as a prototype, got together and sort of expanded the whole Big Brother, Big Sister concept and was there at every step of the way in order to make sure that kids starting from like maybe age 8 or so all the way up to their teen years when they're safely off in college, whatever they want to do, wouldn't that be cool?
I mean, that's every community dream to be able to raise a kid, you know, a village raising a kid and watch that kid develop and grow and, like you say, become a productive citizen. You know, because that kid will be everybody's kid, and everybody will be rooting
right.
for that kid to be successful. And but I must say, I've been in numerous communities since I've been home, and I do recognize that there are men also who is the head of the household. That is, he's the only one there raising his kids. But the other point I want to make is this: our communities. And is really in dire need of volunteers.
Yes.
You know, but a lot of people are really afraid to go out in the community, and because back in the day you had activists coming out in the community, you had recreational centers open, and you had families really out in the community and the recreation centers really enjoying themselves.
Yeah.
But everybody is afraid now, and
That's also right. The
economical situation has limited, you know, a lot of people in their community from getting involved, because there are people who want to get involved. And I think that's the most important thing, to find and reach out to volunteers, because I think once you establish the foundation with volunteers, and I think the vehicle to the end of establishing an organization is going to flourish. It's really going to be good, but you need good volunteers. And you need people who know how to deal with kids and know how to relate and communicate with people. And I think with that, I think that is the vehicle to the end in terms of a successful organization, volunteers. And go ahead. I'm sorry.
Oh, no. And you just hit it. You really did. And it just stopped me in my tracks, Michael, because we have created, it's trying to diffuse itself now a lot, but we have to be watchful, vigilant about it. The scenario is that there is a climate of fear in this country, and some people are fostering that fear, and it's toxic. And it drives people away that normally would be lights to the community. You are so right about that. We've got to really nip that in the bud.
Yeah, and see, and that's the whole thing. It's my organization. I have volunteers, and because of all the things that I'm involved with, I can't actually be here 24/7 to be abreast of every aspect of it, but the fear factor derived from a lot of things, but I think if we was afforded an opportunity, and all organizations were afforded an opportunity to receive more federal grants and more money, then security and all that could be taken care of. So, you know, because that will entail picking up people in a van, bringing them there, taking them back. And so that's the way, the moderate way now of transporting volunteers to the place and taking volunteers back home to give them a sense of security. And that way they know they're in a safe haven. So, you know, you have to bus volunteers to various places who really want to get out in the community and make a difference, because people just want to be loved and have a lot of peace. That's it.
Yes.
That's all they want.
That's right. Oh, my gosh. Yeah, especially children. I mean, we forget that when these kids get older, they're still children. I mean, and some of them haven't even lived lives as children. They have been out of the chute practically, you know, taking care of other kids. And that's, that's necessity, because there's just nobody else around to take care of them. There's not enough resources to be able to get quality daycare a lot of the time, or any kind of child care. So these little kids become adults far too early. I mean, gosh, it just breaks your heart.
Yeah, and like, you know, the same way you recognize it, the same way I recognize it, believe me, a lot of other people recognize it too. And the frightening thing is that since all of us recognize it, why can't we all get together and bring about a change? And I know that's going to take a lot of work and a lot of effort. But, you know, when I see people suffering, when I see people involved in things that is going to hamper their lives, I always get involved anyway, you know, because, like I said, without people reaching out for me and allow me to be free, I wouldn't be here. So I have to give back every chance I get. I try to get. I just, in other words, I just like to share my blessings. That's basically.
Yep.
I just like to share my blessings with others because I was given so much, you know.
And one of those blessings came in the way of a person while you weren't out and about and living in the so-called average society. And I really was taken aback when I heard the name Glenn Granger. He really came to mean so much to you. I'm so happy that you two connected and he was able to show you how creative and how wonderful you were. Maybe you hadn't thought about that way about you, but that's a pretty cool story. You want to share that?
Yeah, I mean, that was a great assessment. That's basically what happened. The story goes like this. Before Glenn, you know, came to the Maryland State Penitentiary, we was in the process of trying to develop a music program there, but we had very little resources. So fortunately, a member of the administration named Brenda Vogel, who was in charge of the library, had a fundraiser and raised enough money to buy us some amplifiers and microphones and speakers. And so one day I was walking to my cell, and the warden, George Collins, confronted me and said, "Mike, you know, it's a guy here who have 10 years, but we can't keep him here because, he have very limited time." And he said, "But you ought to talk to him to see whether or not he would stay here and help put together this music program that you've been trying to get together." And I said, "Well, that's a good idea." So I said, "Well, how can I meet him?" He said, "Well, he's on diagnostic. And when he come out, just go over and ask the officer to call him. He'll come to the gate and you can introduce yourself." So that's exactly what I did. And I talked to Glenn and convinced him to stay in the Maryland State Penitentiary and help us put together this music program. So he decided to do that. And fortunately, I was able to have him move in the area in my cell, and we became cell buddies. And we was able to get a keyboard in the cell. We was able to get two trumpets in the cell because Brenda Vogel had a instrument drive on the outside, and a lot of instruments was donated to the inmates in the Maryland State Penitentiary. Mm. And so while we was in the cell, Glenn began to teach me the basic rudiments of music theory and composition, which was, you know, something I've never, ever experienced before. And but Glenn recognized that on an educational level, I wasn't meeting the requirement to understand the basic rudiments. So one of the things he had talked to me about is going back to school and get a GED and take advantage of the college program and then focus on the music. But I had decided that I would do that, but I still want to focus on the music. And so that's what happened. I was going to school, And also, since we were cell buddies, he was teaching me all the basic, you know, of music theory. And he stayed in the cell with me for 2 years, and he went home. And I continued to study. And then I received my GED, and I enrolled in Coppin State College. And I continued to study and play music because it became like my sanctuary. It became a place where I can go and find peace and in my cell and block out all the things that was going on inside of the prison. So I really got involved in music. Mm-hmm. And after I received my GED, I was able to start a music theory class in the education department in the penitentiary. And then I started going to college and getting more and more involved into my case. And I just kept playing. And music just became second nature to me. It became a real important part in my life because during downtime, and what I call downtime is when you might be depressed or when you might be withdrawn, I used to go and just start playing music and playing my trumpet and playing the keyboard and stay occupied in that, and so I can stay involved in something very positive. So Glenn was a very important influence on me because I think he was able to allow me to see myself for who I really was and the person I used to run from. And that was a person who wasn't able to love himself and a person who was uneducated and a person didn't have any real concept or perception of what he was or what direction he was going in. So when he was able to enlighten me and provide me with the insight in terms of the tools that I needed to use to develop into a better person, that's what I began to do. And that's when I began to think about really growing in a different way, even though I was in prison, even though I was in a cell, and even though I was in a place that I was in for something I didn't do, I still felt the need to become a better person and think about myself and about my life and about the world differently. And so that was the challenge for me while I was in prison, to grow and to become a better person, to become a productive citizen, and become more creative and use a lot of the tools that I already had inside of me that I was afraid to use and become, you know, a more of a creative and caring person. And so that's what Glenn did for me. And he will always be my friend because he took me beyond music. He took me into the personal realm of my life in every aspect. And so we really like brothers. And
I guess. Oh my gosh.
Yeah, we used to stay up at night and ran and talk about what we used to do, and Glenn started putting the band together, and I remember we had this big talent show, and Glenn had the band sounding like Earth, Wind, and Fire, and we blew everybody out, man. My experience with Glenn was one in which I just, you know, developed into a musician and developed into a man. And because, you know, it was like he came into my life at a time in which it was good for me. It was an outlet for me because before he came there, it wasn't anything to do. But when he came to the pen, he was able to create this big music program, and we was able to get all these instruments. And he had everybody playing music. And
And look what he did for you. And I know that you've probably thought about this, Michael. You were, and God works in mysterious ways, oh my God, you were put in this scenario before you got into the prison system. You had put your life more or less together. You were earning a good living. You were working in a local molding company. You were getting ready to marry your girlfriend. And that was good. But look at what happened. You were put in a scenario whereby you were forced to recognize the greatness in you so that God could use you.
Exactly. And that's exactly how I present it, because a lot of times I'll meet people and they'll say, if that happened to me, I would be so pissed. I would be so mad. But I also explained to them the first 5 years I was in prison, I went through a lot of anger and feeling sorry for myself and mad at the judiciary system, mad at the judge, mad at the lawyer, mad at the prosecutor, mad at the jury, mad at the witness. And, you know, maintaining all that anger was really destroying me.
Yes.
It was causing me to mentally deteriorate. And I realized after 5 years that I had to bring about a change if I wanted to survive and ever be free again. And right at that time, that's when Glenn came around, you know, and I met Glenn.
An angel.
And, I met Glenn, and when he moved in my cell, that was the process and the beginning of the transformation of Michael Austin, until the day I'm basically doing the same thing, and that is, sharing information and trying to do what I can in the community and just trying to live a good life, and I'm trying to keep life as simple as I possibly can.
Well, you're sure adding some beauty and some healing to life, because this album, I Just Want to Love You, is just a whoo. It's true romance. I mean, in all semblances of the word, it's what a man would like to say in words to his partner, a hope to be partner, a wife, maybe a girlfriend, or whatever the circumstances. But you say this. You speak for so many men. Can I play another track, please?
You know you can, and I would appreciate if you would.
Okay. I'm just going to put this out there.
Yeah, choose what you want to. Just play anything you want to.
I really like the idea of Love You All Over. Anyway, this is Michael Austin, and I'm really glad to have him on the show today on Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. Check this song out and this voice, if you will.
Heaven above must have known I needed someone to love. Came into my life, girl, turned my world upside down. I never knew that someone could love me for me. And you, baby, baby, yeah, I give my heart and soul to you. I want the world to know, hey baby, no other woman, not in this world, no other woman can love me like you. I'm gonna love you. New meaning now. far behind. Is this real? Am I dreaming? Tell me, please, please, baby. Tell me this love is real. And it's you, baby, baby. I give my heart and soul to you, baby, baby. I want the world to know, hey, babe, no other woman, no, no, not in this world, no other woman can love me like you. I'm gonna love you. I'm gonna love you. All over and again, babe.
You what? The my alter ego Shaniqua has emerged, Michael. So forgive me, because my mind started to wander and had to take my earrings out, the whole nine. Yeah.
Yeah, I hear you.
If Lou Rawls and Joe Williams had a baby, it would be Michael Austin.
Well, I'll be a proud baby too.
Man, that is some smoking song. Love You All Over from Just Want to Love You. Woo-hoo-hoo. Glad I got the heat on.
Listen, you know, like I've learned, when you're in a relationship and when you're in love with someone, I think there's a lot of things, a lot of components in a relationship that a man and a woman share with each other. You know, so someone asked me once, well, what is your definition of loving a woman all over? It's like appreciating her, you know, really caring about her and really loving her and supporting her, and always being there for her and being true to her. And that, to me, is loving your woman all over. Those are the different, you know, little entities that allow a relationship to develop. So that's my ingredient.
Well,
so
you know what?
Someone might have different ingredients.
What you've just described is you really do sum it up by saying that you respect the woman, and that.
Well, yeah, I mean that's from the outset. Actually that word shouldn't have eluded me. I should have said that from one. That was the main word, respect.
Yeah, because when you respect, your partner, you do all of that.
Mm-hmm.
That just comes, you know, it's a but of course moment. But of course, I respect you, so therefore I'm faithful to you. I respect you, therefore I consider you my friend as well as anything else that's gravy that comes into this relationship, you know?
Yeah, but see, a lot of times for me is that when I remind myself of all the ingredients that make love, love, it just makes me feel a lot better.
Mm-hmm. Well, you had so much time to savor what it could be, Michael. Oh, my God. And you're going to be able, not only in the obvious ways, to be able to, if you let me use this word, minister to other men, it, not only with the obvious scenario of the experience you bring to share with them so that they can feel better about themselves, but also in the way of men loving women, the way men and women are supposed to love each other. You're one of the supreme teachers now of that, so you got a lot on your plate to share.
You know, in the Maryland State Penitentiary, when you get a visit, it's only for 30 minutes. And when you meet a woman for the first time and when she walks into the visiting room and you see her, the first thing you try to conjure up in your mind, how you're going to introduce yourself and say all the things that you want to say in 30 minutes.
Wow.
That's all you have is 30. You get 7 visits a month, and you get 30 minutes a visit. But you can ask for another 30 minutes, but you don't want to because you don't want to give up any of your visits. So when the woman come in and she sit down and she sit in front of you and you look at her maybe for the first time and you begin to introduce yourself, and 30 minutes is gone. So what you learn to do when you meet a woman in a very short time, let her know who you are. And that's one of the things that you have to learn to do is say what you have to say within 30 minutes, but say what you say and mean what you say in 30 minutes. And that's what you have to deal with when you on a visit, 30 minutes to say what you have to say. You know?
That's really amazing. So you not only got to savor time that you had, but you had to redefine what time could mean.
Oh,
man,
yeah.
That's just incredible, honest to gosh. What would you like to have happen now that this CD is out? What do you envision? Is everything a dream to you now, or are you real specific about what you would like to see unfold?
Yeah, I'm very specific. I would like to be able to, I will be putting a band together. And, and I want to be able to showcase talent from Baltimore City and, you know, represent my community, represent my family, and trying to get kids involved and share my story and allow people to understand how resilient your spirit and your soul can be and how, you know, you have to learn how to forgive and more so focus on loving and giving. And that, you know, that is specific, but that's also my dream too, you know, just to be able to share and give back to a lot of the people who have given me and make a meaningful difference in the community, and also pay mortgage. So,
right.
There is that. Yeah, so, you know, and just enjoy the simple things in life. You know, when I was in prison, I never knew how important it was to see a squirrel or to touch a tree or to hold a baby. So when we take all these things for granted, and when those simple things that we don't think about is taken away from us, those are the most precious things that money can't buy. Money can't buy those things. So, you know, so when all those things, then you realize the real importance of things in life. When your freedom is taken from you, that's when you realize the real important things in life.
Yes.
And that's what you begin to focus on. That's what you gravitate to, the real simple things in life and the real important things in life. And that's helped me keep life simple.
That's so funny. My gosh, you saying that just conjures some memories. One of the cool things that you have to do, we'll make it a promise to each other to do this. We'll get a little group of us and go to Ocean City, New Jersey. My dad and I used to watch people on the boardwalk go by all the time and tell stories about how we think their lives were.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, my father was the consummate jokester. He would say, "Oh, look, Trish, she must be sick because he's holding her up." And, you know, of course he was so full of it. These kids could hardly keep their hands off each other, but he was trying to cover my eyes.
Yeah.
But holding that kind of
eye.
Stuff. Yeah, right. Yeah. And he would say stuff like, in the car, he would say, "Oh, I don't know. I got to check the car next to me because the lady driving's got a nice fuselage." It was crazy. But you're right. Those little things mean everything. And
yeah,
they're free. They're free.
Yeah, I'm telling you. When I came home, you think this is the truth. When I came home and I saw a squirrel for the first time in many, many years, I was mesmerized by the way it was moving, like it was moving in slow motion. And I never actually looked at a squirrel to that extent.
Oh,
and
wow.
I realized then I was missing a lot, you know.
Mm. I am so glad that you are in the world and able to paint the world through your eyes, because that's a special gift. And I'm so glad that you're sharing one of your other gifts via this voice. And you said to me before we started this show, before we were actually on the show, that, mm-hmm. that maybe you would feel like doing a little something live. Do you want to do that?
Well, yeah, let me, I've been, Let me see if I can. I know we don't have that much time.
That's okay. We've got about 8 minutes or so.
Well, what I want to do, I the song, the first song that you did?
Yeah.
I Just Want to Love You.
Yeah.
Well, I do it live. I do it a little different. Is this how it's going to end? After all the love we put in, our yesterday, our tomorrow, day, I just want to love you more. Out of touch with love, trying to find a new place in my heart. Yet there are moments. Is that good? You want to hear another one?
Oh my God, I was lost in the ozone there. Woo! Gosh.
Yeah.
The chat room is really appreciating you too, by the way. Just a little taste.
Mm-hmm. When I saw your face, you touched my heart. You kissed my lips. I experienced total bliss. My soul so high, thought my spirit could fly. You've done these things to me. Now you wanna set me free, baby. I can't imagine us not being together, baby. Our love's supposed to stand any kind of stormy weather, baby. You without me, love, and me without you. So, let me give you some more stuff.
Oh, my gosh. I don't know if I can take any more.
Yeah, I'm glad that you allowed me an opportunity to really be on the show and let me, play a lot of my music and give me an opportunity to really have some fun today. I really appreciate that.
Oh, and, Michael, Austin, you, listen, we could do another 2-3 hours. Are you kidding with all the stuff that you have inside of you? You have a couple of different, or you want to send people to one particular website so that they can learn more about you and get your music. I want folks to buy your music.
Oh, yeah, I do too. And what has happened is that I had a breakdown on my website as far as, and it was my fault. So only way they can get music now is that Dimension and Music on Park Avenue.
Oh, okay, cool.
He has my CDs down there right now until I'm able to put things back together again. I'm a struggling artist.
Oh, so, honey, I hear you. We play independent artists all the time.
Yeah, and I really appreciate it. So I'm really I'm getting it together now. I really am. And I'm focusing a lot more on my music, and I'm trying to, like God, he's been very instrumental in helping me get a lot of things done.
I'm
working on a bio, a documentary and a musical video. So I'm having a lot of fun, and I'm really enjoying myself. And also, once again, want to thank you for giving me an opportunity to be on your show today and sharing, a little bit about me within this hour. And it was very great. This was a good feel for me today, and I really appreciate it.
Oh, my gosh, a good feel for me and for anybody listening either today or in the archives, because there will be droves listening to this show. In the archives, Michael, your story is so incredible, and I would just love to know that it's going to be on the widescreen someday, because the message that you have is so powerful. And when you get that together, Gar, I know will be instrumental in doing this. When that link is available, let me share it on Facebook. And are you on Facebook, by the way?
Yes, I am. I'm on Facebook.
Okay.
Michael Austin.
Matthew Williams, who is in the chat room along with our Yolanda Bell and some guests, told me that he just reached out to you via a friend request to be friends with you. I did not know you were on Facebook, so look for me and my friend request today, too.
You already know. You there already.
Well, that's awesome. And let's do this again so that we can have an update on what's happening in the amazing life of Michael Austin.
It would be an honor, and I'm looking forward to it. And anytime you want me on the show, all you have to do is call.
Well,
or just tell God to tell me, and I'll be there. Don't even worry. You know I'm gonna be there.
Well, you know what? If things go the way that I hope that they're going, let's do a tentative date right around Christmas time and talk about how much we're grateful for.
That would be wonderful.
Great.
That would be great. And you have a great and blessed day.
You too, Michael. Thank you so much. And honestly, whatever I can do for you, I'm going to do it.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. And thank you for the blessing.
You are so welcome. You be blessed. Have a wonderful day.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Michael Austin right there. Oh, my gosh. What a story. Unbelievable. And Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy goes on. Oh, live music is always such a trip, isn't it? Yeah. And speaking of music, we have another little surprise for you this hour. We're about to start a new hour, and on the line with me is either Jeffrey or Anita, and we're going to talk about the musicianship. Enter and sign in, please. Hello?
Hey, Trish, how are you?
Jeffrey, how
Trish,
are you?
How are you?
I'm just excellent.
How are you?
Just peachy. I'm so glad you're here. You got here just on time. I know Anita will probably do her late entrance because she's like that.
She deserves it.
She does.
You know, she's fashionably late.
Well, you know what she did in the past few days. Amazing. I don't know how she pulled this off, but she wanted to do something special for the show today. So she managed to squeeze in her busy schedule a rendition of The Nearness of You. One of the great producers in our region produced it, and we're going to debut it today.
Yep, well, I'm definitely looking forward to hearing that.
Well, I'm definitely looking forward to hearing you. Tell us, if you would, Jeffrey Tribble Jr., please, about the glorious organization called The Musicianship.
Sure. So first of all, thank you so much for having me on. I think this
my
third or fourth time, and
time
it's a joy to hear your voice, and I look forward to seeing you on Thursday.
Yes.
The Musicianship is a nonprofit organization that facilitates music lessons, experiences, and opportunities for at-risk youth. It was founded in 2009, oddly enough, by Greg and Diane Granger, myself, and three other board members. I don't know if the gentleman that was just on, Michael Austin, he was wonderful, by the way. I don't know if the Glenn Granger he was talking about is the Glenn Granger that I know, who's also a Baltimore native, but if he is, that's really ironic because if he was inspired by that Glenn Granger, that is the brother and uncle of Diane.
That's right.
Greg were two of our founders, so that's awfully odd and ironic, and hopefully there's some synergy going forward between all parties involved. But
And here's the cherry on top of that sundae. The cherry on top of the sundae is it's Gary Granger's birthday today.
Wow. That's great. That's great.
Yeah. Yeah.
So Gary is actually a really big supporter of our organization. I think he's in Jakarta now. Maybe he just recently got back to the States, but he's a big supporter of our organization, and since 2009, we've been successful in providing after-school music instruction to students that wouldn't otherwise have such opportunities. So we appreciate you providing this platform for us to kind of talk a little bit about what we're doing in the community, and we just appreciate you.
Oh, my gosh. Look, how often is it you – probably don't know, Jeffrey, but it is quite often that we talk about the value of music education, especially getting kids when they're young so that they can have that lifelong experience of the peace that an instrument gives you. And, you know, I'll never forget that amazing and so sad day that Diane Granger was laid to rest. But my God, what a homegoing she had, this beautiful 26-year-old woman who spent so much of her time making sure that kids knew about music, they knew about jazz, they had the opportunity to get an instrument in their hands and change their lives. How many people got up to say that they saw her? I mean, she was in the streets going up to kids and saying, hey, look, I got an opportunity for you. Just making sure that young people knew that they were cared for. And the best way that you can let somebody know who is young that you care for them is to give them the chance to change their lives for the better so that they can not only survive but thrive.
Absolutely, absolutely. And Diane was such a visionary and such a talented musician and really helped us to lay the foundation for the musicianship, which has since continued to to follow her trailblazing ways. So her contribution is not something that we take for granted. It's something that we always keep in our hearts and our minds as we continue to work and, throughout the community.
Well, I think that's one of the reasons why the musicianship, to me, a huge part of it, why it seems to get continually blessed. This is one of the most worthy organizations I can possibly think of, and who better to echo that than our songbird, the hard-working Anita King, ladies and gentlemen. There she is.
Hey.
Hi.
Hi.
Sorry I'm late. Hi, everybody.
Oh, girl. Man.
Hi, Jeffrey.
You guys will say hello, yeah.
Hi, Jeff.
Hey. You okay?
Yeah.
Okay. You settled down? You're sitting down?
I'm settled down, sitting down.
Okay, very good. Well, I have to say, kudos to that rendition of The Nearness of You. We're going to play it in a while. Holy cannoli, girl. Woo!
Thank you. Thank you very
Man,
much.
It was a favorite song before, but now it's a whole new definition of a favorite song.
Thank you.
Look at you. I know you're laughing at me.
No, I'm not.
So,
I'm not laughing at you.
That's okay if you are, because I'm used to you laughing at me. So Thursday is going to be the big party and a half. And I'm going to tell you this straight up, Jeffrey and Anita. Joy Hall, of course, the creator of Cool Jazz Conversations, and I do the show with her each Monday. We were talking about this on the show. We had Tia Fuller on with us last night.
Mm-hmm.
And we are looking for a ride. Joy and I want to ride together from Baltimore City. So we're looking for a ride for somebody who's going to go to the Carlisle Club in Alexandria, Virginia on Thursday night, because showtime is 8 o'clock, right?
8 o'clock is showtime.
Okay. So we're just putting that word out there.
We have to work on that ride for you.
Yep. Yep, and I see Matthew Williams is in the chat room, so maybe yeah. Matt will do some networking for
if
me.
If it wasn't a benefit, we'd send a limo.
Right, yeah, that's right. Oh, my gosh, yeah. Oh, my mind will start to wander there. So, Anita, how yeah. did you get to be involved in the musicianship?
Wow. Actually, I had a conversation with one of the members of the musicianship, and we were talking about kids that wanted to pursue music, and I was explaining a little bit about my own life and not really having the opportunities as a young person to pursue music that I wanted to go to school for, but we couldn't really afford it. And so I was really a late bloomer in pursuing music. So I was having that conversation with someone, and I had said that, gosh, I would really like to give back. And we just talked more and more about it, and he was telling me more about the musicianship, and I just thought, gosh, this is just a perfect match. This is what I want to do. And so I began volunteering my time. So that's how I got started in it. And I met Jeffrey when I had my first concert. So.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. That's how it worked.
We didn't meet before the concert at all? Was it, like, literally at the concert?
I think it – maybe we might have met before the concert but briefly, but we did a lot of work on the concert, so I guess that's really what I'm – not really physically on that day, but we did some – but when I started to talk more to Jeff about it, because I believe it was Eric Jacobs that I had the initial conversation with from the musicianship about what they do, and he was telling me about it, and I was just like, oh my gosh, that is like perfect. I'm a lover of live music. I support live music all around town, and I also support kids that want to pursue it, so I just thought, gosh, this is just the perfect match for me.
That's really cool. And Jeffrey, you know, I hadn't planned on asking you this question, but I think it's important. My friend Yolanda Bell is in the chat room, and she's busy putting together a nonprofit for her cause, which is domestic violence awareness. How did the conceptualization of the musicianship, how did that go from the idea to a nonprofit organization? How does that work?
Yeah, so what we did was take a look, number one, at the demographic of people that we were interested in helping, which is at-risk youth. I was fortunate enough to emerge from the south side of Chicago, which if you watched the news recently, we know that it's kind of a rough place to grow up and a difficult
yeah.
place to be, the violence that pervade the community. And then Diane and Greg are also from Baltimore, which, as you know, have similar issues. So we started from, you know, who is it that we want to help and what vehicle can we use to best assist these students in need? So we just said, let's start a nonprofit organization. And I'd be more than happy to talk to anyone about how to go about undertaking that process. What you do is fill out what's called a 1023 form. I don't want to get too technical, but a 1023 form submitted to the Internal Revenue Service to seek your 501c3 tax-exempt charitable status, which basically allows you to be a tax-exempt organization and assist whatever demographic you're interested in serving.
That's really interesting. Because you heard Michael last hour talk about the work that he's doing with his particular organization. And, oh, gosh, I was thinking about all sorts of ideas of how you all could work together to really pump the Baltimore, D.C. area up. I know, Jeffrey, the musicianship is working in schools. The last time we talked, there was a scenario whereby kids after school could partake of what the musicianship had to offer. You want to tell us, keep us updated about that?
Yeah. So basically the musicianship is vetted and approved by D.C. Public Schools to be an official after-school service provider.
Uh-huh.
So basically that allows us to go into different schools around the D.C. metro area and provide free music instruction to some students that wouldn't have such opportunities. So we try to focus on schools in certain wards that house students and residents that are low income or are underserved,
right.
Primarily wards 7 and 8. So, although we worked in other wards as well. Since 2009, we've worked in 8 schools around the D.C. metropolitan area, and we're hoping to be able to do more.
That's so awesome. Oh, my gosh. What do you envision would be a scenario for the musicianship to really blossom? What would you like to see as the next step in something that could develop with the organization?
More volunteer support would be great.
There you go.
Also, yeah. And a lot of people, when they're interested in volunteering with the musicianship, either they're musicians and they want to work directly with students, and that's great, but we also have a lot of other volunteer needs as well on the administrative side, because obviously the foundation of the organization is key to us being able to execute our vision and execute our programs, that sort of thing. So anybody with, you know, whether it's social media skills or whether it's anything administrative or back office, we would also need assistance with. And then obviously us just being able to garner the necessary funds that it takes to operate. We do pay our instructors, and that's really our only overhead cost. I don't make money. No one on our board makes money, but we do like to pay our instructors because they should be compensated for the work that they do within the community. And that's actually one thing that we teach our students is, you know, fiscal management. Hey, you're a musician. This is a gift that you have. And just like everyone else gets up and goes to work in the morning and expects to be compensated for their gifts, you should too. And guess what? You can get scholarship money for being good on your instrument and having good grades. So we try to preach all of those different things, and we, you know, start by, for lack of a better phrase, putting our money where our mouth is and paying talented college students and other talented music educators that are willing to give their time and serve students within the community.
That's awesome. And Anita, we're going to be talking about this a couple of times during this hour, but tell me, first of all, because I really want to know, and I know other people want to know too, besides your golden throat, who will be with you on Thursday in the way of a band at this very, very, how shall I say, elegant room? The Carlisle Club is an elegant room. I've never been there. So, yeah, I'm really excited. Who's going to be with you in the way of the band?
In the way of the band, I'm happy and honored to be working with Eric Bird and his trio.
Oh!
And Paul Carr, saxophonist.
Wow.
And Carl Carrington for the flute or the flutist.
Oh. Carl's going to be there. Oh, my gosh, he's my buddy. Oh, I love Carl.
From our zone. Yeah, and a lovely young lady by the name of Tahisha Jones will be doing some background for me. So I'm excited. These guys are the best of the best, and I'm excited to have them with me.
That's really so cool. So we're not going to do it right now, but give me the rundown on the song, because I just got this message from you this morning about the song.
The rundown.
From start to nuts. I mean, soup
what
to nuts,
like
I should
to
say. You recorded your vocals when, and then Daoud did the production work when?
Well, actually, I've been working on very, very slowly, but I have been working on my own CD project. And we knew that we had this benefit concert coming up, and I had been asked to put together just a single, and I had been working with Daoud, and so I said, you know, if it will help boost the sales for the concert, let's just put something together. So I actually went last night, and I just recorded my vocals, and he did the rest. And so Voila was the product of the Nearness of You, the jazz standard. So I think it's very beautiful. When I heard it this morning, it brought tears to my eyes. And I think most of it was just knowing that we're just doing a good thing here. You know, we just really want to do what we can to help the community. And so so The Nearness of You was born. It is probably my favorite jazz standard tune.
Oh, my gosh. Norah Jones did it on her debut album, and I had loved it for years, but then it was renewed when she did it. I don't care what anybody says, that first album of Norah Jones was her best, because when you do something after years of being lean and hungry, and then you put it out there, it is fresh, it is vibrant, it is new. So to breathe life in a standard as she did, and now as you did, woo, that's something. And like Michael Austin last hour, you know, after spending 27 years behind bars, for him to do a series of love songs, you believe every word of the love songs, because you can't help but feel somebody and their vulnerability come through. But you really allowed that to come through with you. The cool thing about you and what you are doing with your vocals, you don't have any affectation. For that, I praise Jesus, because there's a lot of vocalists out there who do an affectation, and they think it's sexy or something, and it takes away from what the intent of the song was.
Wow.
And with you, what you see, what you hear is what you get. So when you have that translated in the way of the intent of the song, songwriter and listener are both grateful.
Oh, thank you, Trish. Thank you so much. And I did want to give a, since I did mention the band, anybody that knows me knows that I'm an advocate of live music and supporting
mm-hmm.
and particularly local talent. There's so much wonderful local talent here. And Eric Byrd just released a brand new CD, Further On Up the Road, if you can check it out. And then Paul Carr has his own self-entitled CD, Paul Carr Standard Domain. And I don't know if I'm pretty sure you know Dallas White or Ronnie Queen.
Sure.
He's going to be there. He's going to be my sound technician, which he did last year, and it was just absolutely beautiful. And he has Premonitions of Love CD out. So all three of those CDs will be available at the Jazz Benefit Concert so that we can support one another, because I really believe that's what it's all about.
Oh, absolutely. And from what I understand, ticket sales were going pretty well. I love to hear that. I've been doing a couple of links here and there, and anything that we can do now in these final 2 days to push, we'll do it. How many does the Carlisle Club seat? How many does it hold?
Carlisle seats 220.
Okay.
And we're giving it a good run for its money. I'm pleased with the ticket sales so far, but it's certainly not sold out. But if we do, that's just more money that's going to the organization. And I do this purely voluntarily. Me personally, I make sure that I pay overhead because that's just the way that the world runs. But I do it purely voluntarily. And next year, I'm already planning a Women in Jazz, not necessarily to be forefront. It'll be for the same cause, but it'll be next year in October 2013, and I will be featuring some of the best female musicians in this area and hopefully in other states. So
wonderful.
That's something to be looking out for in next year already. The wheels are already turning. I just want folks to know that it isn't about me. It isn't about Anita King. It's about supporting the community and giving back. That's what I truly believe it's all about, and supporting live music. So, you know, I just feel like everything is covered in that one basket. So I'm looking forward to that, and I'm looking forward to spearheading it.
That's wonderful. And, Jeffrey, would you be willing to, because this is an idea that's bandied about not only with these kinds of endeavors, but also with other kinds of ideas that need to get shared. What if somebody says to you in Atlanta, Georgia, or Los Angeles, or New York, hey, Jeffrey, we really love the idea of the musicianship. Could you travel here, there, or anywhere and share your ideas so that we can create something like that in our town? Would you be amenable to do that?
You know what? We've been approached by several U.S. cities, including Philadelphia, Baltimore, obviously, even as far as Minnesota, even Bermuda and the United Kingdom, people have expressed interest in starting organizations just like the musicianship, some under the name of the musicianship, and some people who are just like, hey, I want to start an organization similar to yours. How do you suggest I go about doing it? So absolutely. We have a goal of being able to help as many students as we can with our own vision, but certainly that wouldn't hamper me personally from being able to assist anybody that's interested in starting an organization like ours, even if it's in the same sphere, because it's really about our constituents. It's really about the students that we're working with, not so much the organization that's doing it. So to answer your question, absolutely. If there's anybody that is interested or has a passion for music and music education more specifically, I would be more than willing to talk to him or her to see how they can bring that dream and that vision to fruition.
That's awesome. And you might have caught part of the conversation with Michael last hour, what he is doing with his organization In This Together is sort of an overseeing, not full throttle, but mentoring kids to make sure that they understand how important they are in life at an early age so they can live their lives that way. And, man, just all the ideas going back and forth about wouldn't it be really incredible to have a kind of a joint affair so that these children, maybe at the age of 7 or 8, can be mentored along the way, not only with personal coaching or a number to call. If things get a little tricky and they can't navigate through life and there's not a whole lot of people to call on in their lives, but just a mentorship involving music so that, and I read about this, there's one particular group that's in Baltimore involving girls. And these girls get a coach early in their life, and they see them through all the way to high school so that they know that they'll be taken care of as far as college or technical school or whatever. But it's like life coaching, and I'm thinking involving music would be awesome. Do you ever start to see your ideas expand and grow? Jeffrey, do you lay awake at night thinking, what else can I do?
I do. And not me personally. I would like to do as much as I can, but I also recognize that it takes the effort and support of people like you, Trish, and people like Anita, who are selfless and really think about others before they think about themselves. So, yeah, absolutely. I would love for our initiative and our organization to expand and do other things, but most importantly, it's about getting the right people involved.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, for sure. And, yeah, that whole idea of the volunteer aspect, my gosh, that's so important. And as we were talking last hour, if there was a way to address this, it would be wonderful, which is to dissipate that climate of fear that people have in the way of volunteering or going out of their comfort zone where they live to come to where kids are in most need. Would you agree with that, Jeffrey?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. It's really interesting to, I don't think that many people over the age of 18 spend time in schools unless they have children, but it's interesting to go back and actually see a locker. It's interesting to go back and actually see how small the chairs are in elementary school. And, it'll take you back, and it'll really make you think about.
Hello?
Hello?
Jeffrey had a little swallowing.
That's my little chairs.
Oh my gosh! Oh no! he'll be back. He could have been hitting a dead zone.
It was a very important point he was making.
Yeah, no, we'll get that point. So Anita, you're getting your proper rest between now and Thursday, are you not?
I'm doing my best. I'm doing my best to rest.
Good.
But yeah. And this is a lot of work behind the scenes. A lot.
Oh, honey, I can imagine.
And it's worth every bit when you see a beautiful show at the end. But it is a lot of work. But
yeah.
I enjoy it. And can I just tell people where they can get tickets at?
Oh, please do. Oh, you'll have to say this a couple of times.
Oh, well, absolutely. Just go to www.thecarlisleclub.com, and that's thecarlisleclub.com. And you can just get your ticket and find your seat and your reservation set.
That's awesome. And guess who's in the chat room for the first time that I can recall, Anita? Carl on flute, Carrington.
Woo-hoo.
Yes, he's in the chat room.
Wow.
That's pretty awesome. Yeah, so I'm really tickled that you're having him because he just adds that flute adds.
I love
such
flute.
Oh my gosh, yes,
and,
absolutely.
He plays it beautifully. And I'm honored that he's going to join us, particularly coming from Baltimore. And Carl, Trish needs a ride.
Oh, yeah, there you go. Oh, my buddy.
Trish and Joy are going to show up about 2 hours early. Okay.
That's okay. That would be wonderful.
Now, I'm elated to have Carl. I've run into him around town, and I've heard him play numerous times, and great heart and great spirit, you know. And so I'm just really, really happy he's going to be joining us.
Yeah, me too. And speaking of joining us, Jeffrey has rejoined us on a different telephone line. There Jeffrey. I'm making sure you are entering and signing in, please. There you go. Yay!
I'm back. As much as we enjoy technology, sometimes it falls
Welcome.
Apart. But I made it.
And you were making a good point, too. Can you remember?
I cannot. What was it? I'm trying to think. Where was I? I think I was talking about just the importance of being able to get back and see schools and, you know, where our students are, what they're doing, how they're prospering, how they're not, and, you know, being able to fill in the gaps between what the government is doing and what they're not doing, and just providing additional, like, social services and music services and everything that our students need that they aren't necessarily getting.
Do you find I just have a picture of a young man or young woman feeling that instrument in their hands for the first time. And Jeffrey and Anita, you may have seen this too, the metamorphosis of what it's like to go from that moment, whether they're looking at a trumpet or a saxophone or a flute or an oboe, going, what is this?
Oh, Lord, I can attest. And mainly because every phenomenal singer that I've come across that I actually admire, or even a musician, when I say, gosh, how long have you been playing? They say 4 or since the age of 3, you know, and I'm like, I think I was 30 when I started. So I totally can relate. But it's never too late to follow your dreams and to discover your destiny.
Oh, that's
where
for sure. But I mean, to know that some young person has an instrument and they go from not knowing how to proceed with that into a person who has blossomed, who not only knows how to play the instrument, but it has become their best friend. Jeffrey, you must see this a lot.
I definitely do. Yep.
Oh my God! That isn't that like a miracle?
Yeah, it's a great feeling a part of that and seeing that growth. It really is.
Because look, both of you, how many times has it been that there have been guests on this show who have mastered the guitar or saxophone or any instrument you could possibly name, and they have said, what would I have done without this instrument? In the time when I needed to have peace, this has given me peace. I know that I can always go off to a room. I know that I can part myself from people that either annoy me or I'm infuriated or I'm completely stressed. And all of that can be healed because I know how to play something.
Yeah. When I came to D.C. for the first time, it was because I received a music scholarship to go to Howard University. And I was on the drum line for 4 years at Howard. And then when I graduated, I went on to go to law school. And when I was making a decision about where I wanted to go to school, I decided ultimately that I wanted to stay in D.C. because I knew that at 10 or 11 o'clock at night, if I was feeling down and out about something, I wanted to be able to go back to my undergraduate institution and hear the drum line playing on the football field or the yard, because I knew that it would be a certain solace for me. I knew that it would be very cathartic for me. So music is powerful, and it does allow you a certain peace and time for rest and relaxation and just rejuvenation generally.
That's so awesome. And by the way, Carl Carrington wants to ask you, Jeffrey, does the musicianship need instrument donation?
We definitely take instrument donations. We have a lot of people who say, hey, I've had this flute in my garage for 5 years and it needs to be refurbished. Perhaps there's like a valve that's messed up or something like that on a trumpet. You know, can you all still use it? So, yes, absolutely, we'll take your donations, instrument donations. If you go to themusicianship.org, or if you simply email us at info@themusicianship.org, and let us know what kind of instruments you have and how we can best go about retrieving that instrument from you, we'd be more than happy to take it.
Well, and you'll have a chance to talk with Carl on Thursday about this because he'll be playing with Anita. Isn't it good when things work out this way?
Absolutely. Great question, Carl.
Yeah, that's cool. And, of course, we need to stress that just because the musicianship is based in the wide D.C. area doesn't mean that folks from different parts of the United States or even the world can't participate in making sure that it continues to stay funded. Right, Jeffrey?
That's true. That's true. Again, at themusicianship.org, if you simply click on donations, you can send your money through PayPal, and we'd be more than happy to receive that, and it goes directly to students that are in need of music instruction.
That's cool. Will any of those students be there on Thursday? I would imagine so, right?
We are excited to be featuring one of our most talented students. He's an extraordinary percussionist by the name of Austin Edwards. And Anita actually asked me about
him. He's a surprise guest.
No.
Go ahead, Jeff. I'm excited about it. Go ahead and tell about it.
Yeah, no, Austin, I mean, I remember the first time I saw him play, and he's just developed so much, so much quicker than I did at his age, so much quicker than other musicians I know. So I'm really excited that he's going to be there, and I know that Anita is looking forward to performing alongside Austin.
I am.
That's really cool. Well, okay, it was a former surprise. So
that's quite all right because we want to throw his name out there too. I mean, he's part of the band. So yeah, we were excited about having him and we had a young man last year. I think he was about 11 years old and he played sax. And
oh my
people
gosh.
Are still talking about that young man. And I realized, that people really enjoy seeing how their money helps, within the community. So, I'm excited that Austin is going to be joining us.
Oh, yeah, me too. That's great. Well, you know what? I think that we've kept people waiting long enough. We're going to debut this song. You want to set this up, Miss King?
I do not. No, actually... The Nearness of You, Jazz Standard, is one of my favorite, and I enjoyed it, and I hope you will too.
Here she is. We've got Jeffrey Tribble Jr. here from the musicianship, and we've got Anita King, and she is going to sing. Miss King sings The Nearness of You on Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy.
The pale moon that excites me, that thrills and delights me. Oh no, it's just the nearness of you. Conversation enchant me, baby, if you'd only grant me the
going to get on Thursday at the Carlisle Club. Let us make sure you have the address, 411 John Carlisle Street, Alexandria, Virginia, 22314. My goodness. And this nice flyer. I love these flyers, Anita. I love that.
Thank you.
The glam and the glitz, a red carpet event.
You know, actually, that's a great segue. We have another I have another sponsor for this show, and that's Natalie Moss, who is from the Social U organization, and she's partnered with us to help bring in folks for this show. And she actually came up with that concept because I was telling her, I was like, this year I want to have a program that, you know, we've been so grateful of how much people have contributed to the show in the past years. And I want to have a show that basically is about the people that come. So the glam and the glitz idea is about the actual people that are sponsoring this show and the people that are behind the scenes that are giving their hard-earned money to make sure that this organization thrives and helps children in need. So that's how that concept came about, and I love it.
Oh, yeah, very nice.
So they are the Hollywood glam stars of the night.
Yes, I see at the top here, the Musicianship and Social You present a jazz benefit concert, a red carpet event, don't you know? And Carl Carrington wanted to know, and he's we're going back and forth because I realize that some of these people that we have in the chat room are at work and they really shouldn't be listening. That's okay. Carl wanted to know, do you know, Anita, there was what his ears, I was concentrating on your voice so much and, of course, the keyboard, but was there anybody that you know of on that particular song besides Daoud?
No, it was just that was Daoud and all the instrumentation. So that was Daoud Saeed who put that together. And for those who tuned in late, I did swing by his house and laid the vocals for this event, just so that if it at all would help people to say, hey, we don't know Anita, and if you want to know me, I'm at AnitaKingSings.com. You can hear some other recordings of me, but basically, if it will help in ticket sales, I said sure. I'll just I went and sang the vocals, and Taeed is the real hero who did everything else behind the scenes. So there you have it.
Well, it needs to get said. This is really wonderful because the right combinations of people together mean everything. So if you have, as a singer, your song and you hear your song done in a certain way and somebody gets that concept or gives you a new idea where you go, oh, because you said you heard it and you got a little teary-eyed, that's, how about that? Is that magic or what?
Yeah, The sir is very talented, and I was just so elated to work with him. And we're going to be doing some other things where we actually put some time into it. But we are working on some other things, and I'm really excited. He is great to work with. He really, really supports me and my voice, my singing. He's behind me 100%. And so, I mean, what more could you ask for?
That's right.
I'm really happy about working with them.
Very good. Yay! Wow.
And you guys stay tuned. We've got some other stuff that's really, really hot. So you guys be looking for us.
Well, I'm just tickled that you and Jeffrey have this association for the musicianship because, you don't know, Jeffrey, the musicianship gets discussed back and forth quite a bit between Cool Jazz Conversations and Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. We just love the idea that it's out there and affording so many kids something that will enable them to beyond cope in their lives. You know, these past several years, we're seeing the smoke clear and we're seeing glimmers of hope, and we hope that hope stays. but we're seeing that people are digging out from the hole that was, and the economy is springing forward, and it just is so beautiful to conceptualize the fact that kids will be able to get their footing in a much deeper way in life if they have music with them.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. And if I could just piggyback on what you were saying earlier, I've worked with Jeff now, Jeffrey, I think this is our third year, and I am always blown away to have a conversation with that young man and to think that he is even a role model for all these kids that are coming up. He is he's young, vibrant, so gifted and smart. It's a joy to work with him. I'm just like, gosh, he's just, you know, beyond his years and age as far as his intelligence. He's amazing. And so I've really, really enjoyed working with him and all of the members of the musicianship organization.
Oh, well, thank you, Anita. I haven't gotten that many compliments since I talked to my mom last night.
Well, your mom now owes me money. I mean that from the bottom of my heart. He's amazing.
Well, look, Jeffrey.
Actually,
oh, is that right? I didn't even think of you in terms of age. How old of a young man are you?
I'm 26.
Get out of Dodge. You
yep.
You are that young?
And he's a
or that old.
All of it.
Oh my God.
What better role model, huh?
My God. Well, here's my standard reply. I've got clothes older than that. Wow. That is something I did not know. I thought maybe you're right, Anita. Jeffrey is wise beyond his years. No joke. I would have never guessed. You're an old soul, Jeffrey.
Oh, well, thank you. Now I'm embarrassed.
It is a compliment. That's a beautiful thing. Oh, my gosh. That gives me such hope that there are so many young people out there that are on fire to make this kind of life for other people. You know, it does concern me sometimes when I look around the world and see people being so narcissistic. It's all about them. I'm just going to take care of mine. It's me first. Everybody else, if they get any, cool. I'm not going to have anything to do with it. But then there are the Jeffrey Tribble Juniors of the world and the Anita Kings who say, oh, no, Grasshopper, that's not correct. First, we must take care of our brothers and sisters. There's just such a sweep of that happening lately that it's just making me feel great. It's awesome.
Well, it starts with people like you, Trish.
Well, look, This is why I said this in the past 24 hours. This is why I initially decided to get involved in radio, so that things can happen like this where people can network one to another. Like, for example, Yolanda Bell, who's in the chat room, and I know that you know that name, Yolanda Bell.
Hi,
Photography.
Yolanda.
Yes.
I see everybody chatting, but I'm not very good at modern technology, so I'm just sitting on the phone.
Well, Yolanda, Jeffrey, is the person who is creating this nonprofit. So she just said to me, make sure you get my number to Jeffrey so that we can go back and forth and maybe I can find out from him how he got the musicianship launched. So if we all network about these amazing causes that we have, then Baltimore, D.C. area, no problem. We'll do what we can to nurture one another, since we need to be thinking outside the box, as our president has pointed out, about how we can do this. There's not enough money to go around. Let's just hold on to see if money becomes available. But in the meantime, let's handle our business one to another, you know?
Absolutely.
So. Yeah. Woo! Mercy.
I was going to say, please do pass on my information, and in whatever way I can be a resource, I would love to help out.
That's great. That's good to know. So we've got about 6 minutes, and what would you, either one of you, like to say about the musicianship or life in general, or We certainly are going to mention once again that themusicianship.org, and that's exactly, you know, don't say, oh, well, you're going to spell that? No, I'm not. Musicianship, S-H-I-P as in Paul, .org, has a whole lot of information. So does AnitaKingSings.com. And apart from that, please take the floor.
Jeffrey?
I don't think there's anything that themusicianship.org doesn't say about our organization. So I think that it'd be great if people could just go there. I think they've heard me kind of ramble enough about what it is that we've done, but hopefully they We'll take a look at some of the things that we're doing, and we'll want to be involved in one way or another. What I'd more so like to talk about is Anita.
Yes.
Like she highlighted earlier, this is the third year that she has lended her talent and been such a great spirit, and has really been selfless and has extended herself in a way that is unimaginable, and we appreciate her and people like her that have been so instrumental in helping our organization succeed in such a relatively short period of time. And Trish, thank you for having me on for the third or fourth time. You
sure.
too are always chatting back and forth with me on Facebook about what the musicianship is doing, and I follow everything that you're doing. So thank you so much, both of you, for being a supporter, and I look forward to seeing you all and everyone else on Thursday.
And you know what? Here's something that is of real value for folks who are listening live or who will be listening later on today when they get off of work, if that's, you know, your set of circumstances. If you go to the CarlisleClub.com, you actually have a directive to go to visit. You type in your starting address, and you get directions to the Carlisle Club.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
It's as simple as that. So, and I see front and center. There it is. Your little pretty face with that little short skirt on.
Uh-oh.
They, exactly like the flyer, it's front and center at the CarlisleClub.com about this amazing event that's going to be happening on Thursday, which is my late mother's birthday, by the way.
Wow. We will definitely be there's definitely be sending her love, and I know that she will be with us. I just wanted to say thank you to you, Trish, for having us, to let us tell everybody about this wonderful event and organization. I feel so blessed by the things that have happened to me, and to be able to give back means so much, sincerely. And so I look forward to seeing everybody there on Thursday. And if you can't make it, the musicianship, of course, has that website. You can donate at any time. Send me a note through your donation if you want them to know it's because of hearing about this concert. Please do so. And please pray for me as I travel to Russia and Israel in November.
Oh, my gosh, that's coming up.
A few weeks, so I'll be on a two-week tour there. And I will be there over Thanksgiving, so if anybody wants to invite me to their house for Thanksgiving dinner when I get back,
oh yeah,
turn down any invitations. No, but if you all could be thinking well wishes for me as I travel on after the benefit concert, please do so. And thank
that
you
is
again
wonderful
for having us, Trish. We love you.
Love you both. I am so proud to know that you're in this together, and it's a great partnership. Oh, my gosh. Just all sorts of things are in my head, and I know good things are going to be happening. I really do. This is going to be a pivotal concert this Thursday, and we'll make sure that on the Facebook pages especially, we have the link up so folks can know exactly where to go so there are no excuses. How about that?
Sounds good.
That sounds great to me.
Okay. God bless you, Jeffrey Triple Jr. Yay.
Yay.
Thanks so much, Trish. God bless you, too.
Thank you. And Anita King, I love you like the sister I should have had. And I'll be talking to you soon, I'm sure.
Absolutely. Thank you. I love you, too.
All right. Very good. All right. This is great. And Godspeed to both of you, and we'll see you on Thursday. And it's not going to be Carl Carrington, who's taken Joy and I from Baltimore because he lives in Laurel.
Laurel. Sorry, Carl. We just threw you under the bus, didn't we? Well, we love
That's
you,
awesome.
Too.
All right. Bye. Yeah. All right. Bye-bye.
Amazing, amazing, amazing. This is what we do. This is what we want to do more of, and we will. And, we'll be talking about looking forward to that ride from the Reginald F. Lewis Museum, which is where I'm going to meet Joy Hall on Thursday. We'll find a ride somehow, some way, because I want to give my car a little rest. I just bought the car. It's not inspected yet. So driving to Alexandria, Virginia, before the inspection, maybe not a good idea. It's a 1998 Chrysler Cirrus, all right? We'll find a ride. No sweat. God will provide a way. Let us start this third and final hour of the show keeping the magic of Michael Austin in mind, keeping the continued magic of the musicianship in mind, and playing a song that's old school, that kind of feels right to play, going back to 1951. I was thinking of the Ravens, and maybe this is not the weekend to have thought about the Ravens so much because they got a little creamed in their game on Sunday, but that's okay. We're still going to play in the Purple Grotto on Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. Woo!
Thank you. Loneliness is speaking to me, and I hear just forget about you. And for the first time, loneliness is speaking to me. And for the first time, I guess I wasn't listening. I wasn't listening before. I guess I wasn't listening.
That is who I perceive to be an international talent based in the D.C. area and or the extended D.C. area, Eric Scott, who has been on the show and actually a few times interviewed when I was doing my terrestrial radio thing up the road from Baltimore and just a few months ago. He has a stellar CD out called Where the Water Runs Deepest, and that is my favorite track on the CD. Loneliness is speaking to me, but it ain't speaking to Eric, because I just looked at ericscottmusic.com, and it's pretty thrilling the dates that are coming his way, including a date at a folk festival. Yeah! just an amalgam of different kinds of venues he plays, and now they're being really increasingly frequent, and I'm digging that. And then toward the end of the year, he's going to be playing with a gal who I knew back in country music days when I was doing programming and hosting on the air for country music radio, Deanna Bogart. Man, she has just carved herself an arena, shall we say, in blues music. And when she and Eric team up, Deanna does her thing. Actually, she plays a couple of different instruments, and if you want to check out her information, DeannaBogart.com, go there and see what this woman has done through the years. But Eric and Deanna, when they're teaming up, it's just formidable. Not the best word to use, but strong, okay? Just love Eric Scott more so now than ever, because he came to my birthday party last Monday at Club 347. And he did a hike to come across the state to do that. So, Eric, God bless you. David Sanborn, accompanied by Joey DeFrancesco and Steve Gadd. Joey on that Hammond. Woo! Only Everything, the name of the CD that was out in 2010, and that was Blues in the Night. All 7 minutes and some change. Woo! That was so nice. This particular album was the follow-up to Here and Gone, another one of those tributes to Ray Charles and to David Fathead Newman and to Hank Crawford. And real interesting, David was a young boy, and he was going through some severe health issues. And Dad took him to a Ray Charles concert, and it turned his life around. He saw Hank. He saw David Fathead Newman do their thing, playing saxophone with Ray, and he was never the same. He was not the same. And it's just more than poignant to realize that a year before, 2009, Hank and David passed away within a few days of each other. Just on the road with Ray so much and formulating that chemistry together that infused David Sanborn. And through the years, David had played with Albert King and Paul Butterfield. So he has the right to play the blues, really strongly opinionated as far as jazz and the origins of jazz and how blues are so closely intertwined to the genre. And man, when he and Joey get together,
It's crazy good. Oh, Lord. just feeling it. And I know that, BJ is feeling it in the chat room because she just came on board, opening the door to the chat room when she heard that Hammond do its thing. We started off with Mary Lou Williams on keyboard in the Purple Grotto from an album that's intriguing because it was originally done in 1951 on LP, of course. It was a side piece. Mary Lou on one side, and then Barbara Carroll, another pianist, on the other. And Barbara, we've never discussed her before, but she was one of those gals who gravitated to Bud Powell. She was one of the first to play that bebop style. And Mary Lou, whew, there's a whole nother story about her. Man. Grew up in Pittsburgh and in a neighborhood called East Liberty. She was known at the age of 7 as that little piano girl of East Liberty. She was entertaining people at an early age, and she just loved Lovey Austin, who was just huge back in the day on keyboard. In years to come, Mary Lou Williams, she, among other things, had Mary Lou's Piano Workshop on WNEW in New York. And she got to befriend and mentor and teach the likes of Thelonious Monk, Charlie Parker, Miles Davis, Dizzy Gillespie, who you'll hear this hour. She was beloved, and nobody loved her more than Duke Ellington, and he perceived of her as one of the greats, if not the greatest, as far as piano stylings are concerned. And there are many people who would agree. She just paved the way for a lot of women and for a lot of men as well. They considered her an equal, and so they should. Now, this is Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy, and we talked a lot in the past 2 hours about mentorship and people who had visions. Last hour, we heard from Jeffrey Triple Jr. and from Anita King about the musicianship and the person who laid the groundwork for the musicianship was a wonderful girl, a beautiful soul, inside and out beautiful, named Diane Granger. And it's just so fitting that we speak of her today. Michael Austin was on the show with us. During the first hour, he talked about the inspiration that Glenn Granger had given to him. Glenn Granger was Diane Granger's uncle. And another uncle, Gary Granger's birthday is today. He's 59. Happy birthday to you, Gary. Thank you to Glenn. And I wanted to play a song for Diane because she not only inspired those who would become a part of the musicianship, she inspired the people around her, people that she was playing with, and one of those people is Jared. And Jared, on his Manhattan Nights album, made it a point to write this song. Oh, my God. This song, it's going to jump out at you. If you have never heard this, this is Song for Diane. Diane Granger was Jared's drummer. And he pays homage to her with this. It's beautiful.
Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. Happy birthday, Diane Reeves. that is tasty. Whoa, I just had to play that a second time. We played it last night on Cool Jazz Conversations. Tia Fuller was our guest. The, what shall I call her? The Angelic Warrior, okay? How's that? That's the name of her CD. And who she had on that track? The incredible birthday gal, Diane Reeves. Body and soul, as you rarely hear it done. Oh, my gosh. Some people just have the right to sing some songs. You know what I mean? Yeah, just like Anita King last hour had the right to sing The Nearness of You. Oh, it was so nice. Woo-hoo! It's paradise. Tia Fuller. I didn't know this until Joy pointed this out. Tia is with Esperanza Spalding tonight in Roanoke, Virginia. You folks who need to vote, by the way, in Virginia, know that she will be there. And, of course, Tia Fuller's website has it all. Tomorrow, the 24th at Newport News, she will be the 26th and 27th at the Apollo Theater, don't you know, with Esperanza. And then on the 15th of November, gulping hard, because it will be past the 7th of November, she will be with the Tia Fuller Quartet at the Strathmore in Bethesda, Maryland. And then on the 17th with Carrie Lynn Carrington at the Peabody Institute in Baltimore. You best believe, LUV, there will be a few of us at that soiree. Tia Fuller on saxophone on this album is just so cool and so strong and so courageous. She could have very easily done the do and decided to go a more contemporary jazz route. No, she's got mostly straight-ahead stuff on this, to the point where Terry Lynn Carrington's dad said, "She plays like a guy," which was the highest compliment in Terry Lynn's dad's world. So just know that Mac Avenue is behind this 100%, and they are also behind Brian Bromberg 100% with his Compared to That CD. Matter of fact, the label encouraged Brian to do a straight-ahead mix of songs, and he did. Now, speaking of Brian Bromberg, we heard him do Forgiveness, one of the stronger tracks, not only on Compared to That, but from this year. That was a song and a half, was it not? Brian has had a little accident, so please keep him in your prayers, if you will. He decided to do some cutting of French bread and missed. So the knife went into his hand. There is a picture of that hand on my Facebook page. It does not look pretty. And it's going to be a while before he plays the way he's used to playing. So please send a little prayer to Mr. B. He's going to need them, and I know he's really ticked off at himself. But what can you do? He said next time he'll leave it to the experts. But you want to do everything at home. I've got one of those knives here, and oh, God, I'm so, so careful. And accidents happen. That's why they call them accidents. Jared, we heard one of the glorious songs from Manhattan Nights. My golly. Jared, if you're here in the show, either live or in archive, I miss you, and we need to have you back. Song for Diane. As in Diane Granger. And I was telling Jeffrey and Anita in the last hour show, the going home celebration for Diane that day in this beautiful church in Washington, D.C., was something that T, my son, and I will never forget, honestly. It was just glorious, and what a tribute to a 26-year-old woman who lived her life in such a way that you would have thought she was 75. She lived three lives in one. She made it a point to think outside of herself so much. People from everywhere came to see this beautiful spirit. They had an open casket. Diane was killed as a result of an accident in a parking lot outside of a very popular place in the D.C. area, and of course nobody sees these kinds of things coming, but she lingered for a few days and then she passed away. But her sense of adventure and courage and love for people lives on in the way of the musicianship, which is why we're so enamored of the organization. So when you get a chance to maybe help these folks out, if you can, that's awesome. themusicianship.org. Or if you want to go see Anita King do her thing for the benefit of the beautiful endeavor, Thursday night at the Carlisle Club in Alexandria, Virginia. Let us turn our attention, shall we? Thank you, Jared. Love you so much. One of the best on saxophone, by the way, and I think you know that. Dizzy Gillespie. His birthday was October 21st, 1917. Passed away in 1993, and what a legacy he left. Whew. I think I have to tell you that one of the greats ever on trumpet. Fiesta Mojo from Jamba Karib on Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. Thank you. Oh, my goodness, that's so nice. Pancho Sanchez and Terrence Blanchard equal Chano y Dizzy. Love this. Pancho Sanchez wanted to do a really nice, real meaty album to celebrate his 25th for Concord Records. So he wanted to channel a conguero from back in the day that Dizzy Gillespie met in 1947. They played together for about a year. Then a Cuban-born conga player, Chano Pozo, was killed at the age of 33 in this bizarre incident. But my Lord, did he set the tone for what Dizzy would do for mostly his career. So Pancho thought it would be a good idea to team up with Terrence Blanchard as Dizzy, and Pancho would take the Chano role, and they would do a lot of raiding of Dizzy Gillespie archives and make sure they played some tunes that they had done back in the day. Woo! Jack's Dilemma is what you just heard. Dizzy Gillespie, we heard from Jamba Caribe, Fiesta Mojo, and that was back in 1964. James Moody on tenor sax and flute, Kenny Barron on piano, Chris White on bass, Rudy Collins on drums, and Kansas Fields on percussion. Time is getting to be of the essence. Thank you, Matthew, BJ, Yolanda, Carl, all the guests that stopped by today. On Thursday on Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy, we're going to have the return of Matthew Shell and Trey Ely to talk about their CD release party happening on the 1st of November. So there. Woohoo! Thank you so much to Anita King, Jeffrey Tribble Jr., and also to Michael Austin. God bless you all. Thank you for listening. Thanks for the good numbers. We'll see you on Thursday.